Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Stu, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you. I do apologize for pushing us off schedule so far, but I was abroad. I went to Mexico with my wife and my parents and one of their good friends. So we were in Los Cabos for the last seven or so days. We just flew back. Got in really late last night, so had a good time. It was very warm. Got back here, and it's a little colder. Wasn't super psyched about that, but it was sunny. Ocean was ocean, beach was beach, and food was food. Had a good time. Learned how to make some authentic guacamole. So that was pretty good time. But now we're back. We're going to be talking about football. We've got our post-draft reactions and kind of discussions episode before we jump straight into divisions, which will be our lives, James, for the next several months. But before we get into everything, I do want to hear how you're doing this evening.
I am doing really well. So Kelsey and I spent most of the day working in the backyard doing like some spring cleanup slash preparation things for growing plants. We got a whole new rig greenhouse thing set up to make some like peppers and herbs and things like that, and that's going to be great. And we mulched one of our gardens, or rather Kelsey did. And so right before I got on this call with you, I take Indy out, and he immediately runs straight to the mulch and starts rolling around in it, which like he doesn't do. I've only seen him roll around in relatively gross things like once, and he just bolts for it and immediately does it. And I'm like, why? What? Why? Indy is sitting here asleep on his bed behind me like nothing happened, and he is just a gross little boy. But
a filthy dog. He's ready for a bath now.
Yeah. Even though he's not supposed to be scheduled to get one for another 2 weeks. I love him, but he's a weirdo. But Stu, before we get going with our order of the day, we do have a little bit of news. The first piece is that neither of our horses won in the Derby yesterday.
That's true. Unfortunate.
Yep. Stu, as you all know, is our resident horse racing expert. He knows everything there has ever been known to know about horses and horse racing. And, it was probably karma for us not having an episode last week so we could actually talk about it pre-Derby. I did put money, Stu, on the horse you told me to put money on. So
yeah, I know.
So I do blame you for that.
That's fine. I can pay you back. You said it was what, like your entire life savings?
Yeah, my entire life savings of $5. But the actual big piece of news, which isn't really big news, but it's something that we've been wondering what would happen with it. George Pickens signed his franchise tag, so Stu, is there anything to even consider thinking about or worrying about or pontificating about with this? Or
not too much. It's more just like a weight off your shoulders because it looks like he's going to play and we don't have to have the headache of he wants to get paid, he wants an extension before he'll play kind of thing. So, I mean, at least now it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It could happen. I don't know. It's George Pickens, but we do want him out there for our own fantasy teams. He was excellent last season, and he should be a first or second round talent in 2026 drafts. So it's a little bit of a weight off of our shoulders, and we could focus on some other stuff, James.
Yep. And speaking of other stuff, I totally forgot to ask you a very important question, and that is, what are you drinking tonight?
Yes, so we had to fill up on provisions for the coming week since, you know, we haven't been here for a little while. I stopped by the supermarket and got some Wemac from Sun King Brewing. It is a Scottish-style ale, so I've got some 12 fluid ounces of Wemac to enjoy, some football to talk about. But before we do that, James, I want to know what you are drinking tonight.
I am drinking tonight a beer that is fresh off of winning a gold medal at the World Beer Cup a couple weeks ago. This is one that I had before it even won this award, but I like it a lot, and it's now award-winning. So I am drinking from the Three Floyds Brewery in Munster, Indiana, the Floyds Deluxe Lager. It is a 4.5 ABV lager, and as far as like Three Floyds beers goes, this is like the least extreme representation of a beer that I think they've like ever made. Like the whole thing about Three Floyds beers is they take whatever medium of beer they're doing and they kind of do it in a somewhat weird way. But this one is just a really good, really flavorful and well-balanced American lager. And I like it a lot. And apparently the people at the World Beer Cup did as well. So I already cracked this beer, but Stu, you can crack yours.
I will
in
crack mine.
3, 2, 1. I don't know if you cracked it, but I'm... No, I did.
I was doing it very slowly because it's been a while since I've actually had to crack a beer. And I mean, if longtime listeners of the podcast will know how many times we spill all over ourselves to get this small sound bite.
And like I do it right in front of the microphone. So my same as Billy Joel, my microphone smells like beer. I'm sure yours does a little bit, too.
Absolutely. That and my my keyboard is a little sticky. It's all a good time.
Yep, we are gross people, but let's
But we
go
do
ahead.
It for you guys.
Yeah, it's for you guys.
For all of you
the
out
listeners.
There that want to listen to us crack a soda can, mm-hmm. essentially.
And speaking real quick about beers, we are getting ready to introduce a new thing on the fantasyfootbeer.com website, which is going to be our season-long beer rankings. So we got to wait till we've both had 5 beers for that. This is episode 5 of the season, so I will have my 5th beer, but Stu had 1 beer twice and had a mixed drink in there somewhere, so we'll get him caught up, and then we will have some official rankings. But Stu, let's go ahead and talk about the draft, the main thing we are here to do. We are a little bit late on hitting it, but we're not that late. It's all good. Let's talk about some players who we liked their landing spot and some players who we did not like their landing spot. So in our last episode, we talked about a fair number of prospects who we thought could be fantasy relevant going into 2026. Stu, tell us one who you thought had a positive landing spot in the draft.
Okay, so there are several that I really like their landing spot, but the one that I want to address first is maybe not the one I'm most excited about, but the one that affects me the most, James. Of course, I'm talking about our season-long bet. I'm sure everyone is chomping at the bit to know exactly what we think about where our two players ended up, and I'll let you talk about your guy, but I selected Mekhi Lemon. And Mekhi Lemon, who did not go to the Rams like I really wanted him to, the Rams decided to go with Ty Simpson in one of the biggest trips in the first round I've seen in a long time. But Mekhi Lemon goes to the Eagles. The Eagles actually snake the Steelers, who selected one pick after. Eagles traded in front of the Steelers, who were on the phone with Mekhi Lemon at the time, and then said, hey, psych, we're actually going to draft you instead. So this almost all but, you know, confirms that A.J. Brown is out the door, though he is still technically an Eagle. He is... has long been rumored to be traded out of town, most likely to the New England Patriots. But Lemon gets to step in across from Devontae Smith in an offense that is... it's a team that's good. It's a good defense. The offense has been, at least for the superstar, Super Bowl aspiration teams, a little bit lacking, in my opinion, at least in the passing game. Of course, you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield, who's amazing. Jalen Hurts just doesn't throw it as much as I would have loved to see as for a destination for Mekhi Lemon, but he's going to fill the route tree that A.J. Brown can perform, at least semi-adequately. He's not nearly the same size as AJ Brown. Mekhi Lemon's actually quite small, but he's incredibly tough, and he's good in these short range targets, getting him in some space, find a soft spot in the zone. We talked about him a little bit in one of our more previous episodes, so you can hear some more of our thoughts there. Overall, quite excited for this. I know, James, you're not as excited as I am for your guy. I know you wanted to talk about what you wanted to see and, you know, what you wanted to like and be positive, but I might make you talk about your guy and be a little bit negative. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I did pick Omar Cooper, and I want to be transparent about something. Some of our listeners may have thought it was weird that I was picking Omar Cooper over Mekhi Lemon, thinking about where their possible landing spots could have been. I totally thought in the moment, I wasn't listening very well, and I thought Stu was taking Carnell Tate, and I was like, oh, he's going to go somewhere terrible. There's no way he'll be productive for fantasy in his first season. And I was right. Carnell Tate went to the Titans, and that's going to be probably a disaster. But instead, Mekhi Lemon went to the team that I thought Omar Cooper was going to go to. And I thought the Eagles were a great landing spot for either of those guys. And I think Mekhi Lemon, a probable rookie slow start notwithstanding, that's a great landing spot for him, especially with, as we think could happen, probably will happen, A.J. Brown being traded. But I do wonder, and this has kind of been the big story off the field that's been going on in the NFL these past couple weeks, with all of the drama around Mike Vrabel, is it possible that some of that reported stuff going on with AJ Brown to the Patriots was that overblown a little bit? Could it be that certain people in the media were just trying to drum something up there? So I don't really know what's going to happen there, but I do really like Mekhi Lemon to the Eagles. And in fact, the Eagles, with their first two rounds, they did address offensive skill positions both times. And I do really like the tight end that they got for themselves, at least in the position they got it. In the second round, the Eagles picked Eli Stowers out of Vanderbilt. Right now, in early redraft mocks, he's going undrafted, which doesn't surprise me. But Eli Stowers is a guy who, if they do lose A.J. Brown, could very well take at least facets of his game and fill in. He is a big body for a receiver, but not so much for a tight end, and he is very much a receiving-first tight end. So I saw that, and I was kind of like, I see what you're doing there, Philadelphia. So I liked that pick a lot, and even though I don't really expect him to be drafted, it wouldn't surprise me if he became fantasy relevant at some point later in the season. So, and I was supposed to spend this time talking about Omar Cooper.
I wasn't going to hold it against you. You're doing fine. Eli Stowers, absolutely, as long as Dallas Goedert is on his way out.
Yeah, I do think Dallas Goedert got an extension, or at least they were talking about an extension. But about Omar Cooper, I did kind of take a look at the Jets roster the other day, and I was like, this is not as bad as I think it is. Like, they got two pretty talented guys in the first round. They got Omar Cooper as a receiver, and they got Kenyon Sadiq also in the first round as the first tight end off the board. They have a at least okay offensive line. Talent-wise, you know, a lot of that kind of depends on who the quarterback is behind them, whether or not they're giving them an opportunity to actually block. And I don't think Geno Smith is going to necessarily be a positive influence on this offense. But outside of the quarterback, there's some good things happening with the Jets. Garrett Wilson was a guy who, when he was healthy for all of like 5 weeks, was in the conversation for the wide receiver one in fantasy football. So I know the quarterback is kind of an extremely important thing, if not the most important thing, in determining a wide receiver's output. But everything other than that makes this look like a good landing spot for Amari Cooper. The whole Geno Smith thing kind of makes it seem like it's a really bad landing spot, as well as all of the just general black hole of suckiness that has been New York since the early Rex Ryan days there. But yeah, I am not happy that Amari Cooper got drafted by the Jets, but I'm trying to look for a silver lining in that. So Stu, say a different name.
Say a different name? Okay. One that I really am excited about overall is Jordan Tyson to the Saints. Let's just keep talking about wide receivers, I guess. We're going to cover this wide receiver heavy draft by talking about everyone in that got drafted. We'll just go wide receivers the whole time. Anyway, Jordan Tyson going to the Saints is really, really exciting. Honestly, between him and Mekhi Lemon, I could have gone either way with the two that I wanted to select for our bet, but he's going to slot in right behind Chris Olave in an ascending offense that just signed Travis Achane Jr. I don't know if you knew that he had come out and said his last name is pronounced Achane, but that's going to be really annoying to differentiate with the Achane in Miami. But in ascending offense, Tyler Shuck was performing very, very well at the end of last season. Honestly, throughout the season overall, really excited for the Saints, period. And Tyson now has only really Devon Vele to leap in the depth chart to really eke out some pretty significant target shares going into 2026, and I think he can do that really, really easily. He's a field stretcher. They can get design touches for him, get him going in the screen game, get the ball in his hands, and go. The big knock on him in the draft was his durability issues, that he's fought some injuries throughout college, but you know, injuries are injuries. They're never going to go away for people. You just have to be mindful of that. It's not really a reason to not draft him in fantasy drafts, especially if there is an NFL team that is going to expend, you know, round one capital on this guy. I don't think you should have any qualms about going out and getting him in your drafts. And right now, he's currently priced around the 9th or the 10th rounds. I mean, that's going to change, of course, as camps start and preseason gets underway, and we're still months and months away from these sorts of things being relevant. But if you're looking at a rookie wide receiver who can make a name for himself in year one, Tyson is one of those. And to get him pretty cheap in the 9th round, I mean, you remember where Brian Thomas was going a couple years ago out of LSU, and he ended up being a wide receiver one. Pretty cool stuff. Excited about Tyson. James, do you have any thoughts on him? I'm sure you do, or you can give us another name if you want.
I did like Jordan Tyson's landing spot. I think that just kind of with where that offense should be going, we saw Tyler Shuck develop decently in the second half of the season last year as a guy who we thought was going to be out of the league pretty quickly. But we've seen that he is able to produce surprisingly well at the NFL level, which means that give him some more consistent targets, give him a healthy Chris Olave, and now give him a really, really talented player in Jordan Tyson, who, you know, also kind of has those injury problems similar to Chris Olave. There's a lot to like here. There's a lot to be happy about. I would have liked to see the Saints address probably some different needs in the first round with that pick, but with an explosive player like that, I think there are some positives there. And Stu, you mentioned that for these pick estimations on the fantasy big boards, how those are going to change over the course of the year. We do see these fluctuate constantly. When these names are first introduced, what you usually see in mock drafts is people see like your Jeremiah Love, your Jadarian Price, your Carnell Tate, and whatever, and they're going to make up their own minds about what they feel about those landing spots. And usually what's going to happen is people are going to overdraft them at this point in the season, because people think that they're going to see a guy like Jordan Tyson to the Saints and be like, oh, he's a guy with a really high fantasy upside, that probably isn't going to be looked at with that sort of pedigree. So right now we're seeing Jordan Tyson in the 9th round. That is probably going to be a little bit higher than I would expect him to go. But sometimes it depends on what you hear at a training camp. Like last year at this point in the draft with Ashton Jeanty, we saw him, I think, open up going in like the 3rd round in those first mock drafts. And he ended up being a 1st round pick in most fantasy leagues. In some leagues, he dropped to the 2nd. And that's sort of what I want to look at with my next guy. I want to talk about Jeremiah Love. So he was obviously the big name coming out of the draft. Most people put him as the number one talent in the draft. And there was a lot of questions surrounding where he might land and how he might be able to produce in that landing spot. So Jeremiah Love goes to the Arizona Cardinals, who last year had probably one of the most disastrous revolving doors of running backs I've seen in a long time, just with injuries galore. James Conner, I will never forget, we both fought for the right to stand on the table for James Conner, and the table kind of collapsed underneath us.
Just like his leg.
Yeah. But I think Jeremiah Love, there's a lot of positives that come with going to the Cardinals. The collapsing infrastructure notwithstanding, new coach, new quarterback, new basically, well, it's not new quarterback, it's still Jacoby Brissett, but everything else being new, there are positives and negatives to that. The positive to that is that he is going to be leaned on a lot, much like Ashton Jeanty was last year with the Raiders, who we saw him kind of struggle to fall into that order early in the season, and then later in the season when he started to get a higher workload, he started being able to do a little bit more with that. I expect something similar with Jeremiah Love, which is why it does not shock me or surprise me that we're seeing him open up with initial redraft mocks putting him in the 2nd round. I've seen him in the 3rd round already, and he's already going a little bit higher. It wouldn't surprise me to see some people reach for him and take him in the 1st round, especially if you're in a standard league. But I would feel comfortable about Jeremiah Love going in the 3rd, maybe even very late 2nd. But I think a lot of that is going to depend on what we hear out of camp, what we expect his workload to be, and what other running backs end up being viable in that offense. So, Stu, what else you got?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little more tepid. I mean, any franchise that was going to take Jeremiah Love was getting an immediate impact player. And I just don't love Arizona as a destination, period. I mean, they've got themselves a good player, but I mean, there are still names in that room. I mean, they just signed Tyler Algier. James Conner, I think, is still under contract. There's a handful of other guys there too. Of course, Love is going to be better than them basically from the rip, but I mean, this is a team that's going to be headed by Jacoby Brissett. It's not expected to do very well. They need a quarterback in the worst sort of way going into 2027 drafts, so there's really not a whole lot of, you know, reason for them to go out there and win games. And you know, the running backs that are playing from ahead, that are playing with a lead, are going to get the ball in their hands more frequently. If the Cardinals are going to be behind from the rip and are going to be throwing the ball, I mean, what were they averaging? Like 55 passes a game last year? I mean, Jacoby Brissett started 11 games, lost 10 of them, ultimate tank commander, but he was just throwing the ball out the wazoo. I don't love it as a destination overall. The current price that you were talking about, like 2nd or 3rd round, something like that, is honestly too expensive for my taste. Going in the 4th round as a kind of a mid to lower tier RB2 candidate would be where I would like to see something like Jeremiah Love go onto my rosters. He probably will not find his way onto my teams if he's going you know, in those areas. But as a random aside question, James, for all of us who are excited by the rookies getting drafted and, you know, they want to figure out where the, you know, average draft position's going to, you know, iron out, where are you mocking and where can people also mock with you?
So I typically like to spread my mocking around, but this time of year, I'm usually doing a lot of Fantasy Pros. I said I wasn't going to do the subscription this year, and I already re-upped it. So, when it gets to this time of year, it's just hard to beat it. I have written up an article before. I don't know if it's been on fantasyfootbeer.com, but it definitely will be towards closer to draft season, where I kind of break down a bunch of different resources you can use, including different websites you can mock draft. I will make sure to go over those when we get closer to mock draft season. But also, wherever you are doing your drafts, or your league rather, the hosting service, whether it's ESPN, CBS, Sleeper, NFL.com, whatever you're doing, usually those have live mock draft rooms open. I don't know if ESPN's is open yet, but I know that Sleeper's is, so you can jump in and do that. Right now, the ones that are really hot are the Rookie Dynasty mock drafts, and I know that there are some people listening to this who are going to be wanting to pay attention to that specifically. That's not necessarily our expertise. It's kind of a different style of fantasy football, but definitely one that is going to be important for these guys here.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, I might throw out a couple more names, just like deeper round names that could come into, you know, relevancy based on their current you know, landing spot, and then maybe we get into a couple of guys that we really didn't like where they ended up going, and I'll push that to you, James. But a couple of names I wanted to throw out. Number one, going to the Giants at round 3, Malachi Fields. I do really like that. I think I've heard you say that the Giants are going to the Super Bowl, and I'm really excited for them as a team, as a franchise, as a whole. So Malachi Fields going there. Like that a lot. I want to throw out the names KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston, both going to Cleveland, slotting in behind Jerry Jeudy. Like that for different reasons. It all depends on the quarterback that's going to be playing. You might be hearing a few you know, names out there that are saying that Deshaun Watson is the clear favorite to be the quarterback this season. Other people like Mel Kiper is going to say Shedeur Sanders is going to be the guy. I don't love either of those two options, but, you know, one or both of Concepcion and Boston are going to be relevant to some degree. And then I do really like Chris Bell going in the 3rd round to Miami, because Miami is bereft of options just on offense, period. Not a great situation for them. And you mentioned Jadarian Price. It's not really a later round target or anything like that, but pretty cool to be drafted to the Super Bowl champs. James, any other names, or do you want to get right into the guys that you didn't really like where they ended up?
You hit most of the guys I wanted to talk about. I think that I'm glad you brought up Malachi Fields, because I did consider bringing him up earlier. I think his 3rd round draft price was probably a little higher than I expected him to go, but I did think that his ceiling was kind of perfect for where he went after Wandale Robinson leaves to go to the Titans, I believe. Mm-hmm. Malachi Fields, that he kind of fits that same role perfectly. So I'm excited to see what he can do with Jackson Dart alongside Malik Nabers there. But with Jadarian Price, he is currently, of all of the rookies drafted, going the 2nd highest in fantasy drafts right now. I'm seeing him as high as the 4th round, which, you know, seems like a massive overpay to me. I'm talking like 5 or 6 rounds too early, based on what I see his split share with like Zach Charbonnet being. But he is a talented guy. He is a guy who kind of does everything well and nothing great, and that can be a good thing and a bad thing. especially replacing Kenneth Walker, who is kind of like occasional lightning in a bottle and oftentimes a bruiser or nothing. So Jadarian Price, kind of a different style of running back coming in there. But if we want to get to guys that we don't like, I already mentioned Carnell Tate. Going to the Titans, I really want to see if Cam Ward can make that next step. I don't know if he is that guy, but if he is that guy, Carnell Tate might be his best target. I don't know. I'm not super excited about that offense in really any case, but Stu, what do you think? As we get to the late last moments of the episode here.
Yeah, Carnell Tate going to Tennessee is also not one I'm super excited about, just because they signed Wandale Robinson. They already had Chimere Dike. They had Elik Iamanor. All the names that could be relevant, and now they throw Tate in there. I mean, he's going to be the possession-style receiver, playing a different role than some of these guys, but I don't like the number of names competing for targets from Cam Ward, who has still, at least in my opinion, not shown us to be super capable of supporting a dominant fantasy asset or even multiple mediocre fantasy assets. So I'm really not super psyched about Carnell Tate. I'd rather him go to other teams and just kind of see how his rookie season goes plays out. Dynasty drafts, I mean, a lot of these guys that we talk about that we're not excited about are still going to be relevant in dynasty drafts because it's a whole different beast to be talking about those. In redrafts, though, which is mostly what we kind of discussed, James, not super excited, kind of similarly to you. And we're a little biased, though. We don't like Tennessee as Colts fans. But other than that, places that I didn't really like to see, you know, grab some of these running backs or wide receivers, I guess I'll throw out the name Ty Simpson again. Just why? Please, God, why? Don't understand at all why they did that in a win now kind of situation. Why you're drafting the replacement for Matthew Stafford, you might as well have gone for something that could push you to another title. I know you, everybody talks about Fernando Mendoza, James. You have him in your dislike column. Do you want to speak to exactly why you dislike him?
Yeah, it's mostly just, I think I explained it pretty thoroughly in the last episode, but now that he is a Raider, he is being put in a situation to fail. And I know that Kirk Cousins, I think that you're right in saying that Kirk Cousins is kind of the perfect guy for Mendoza to sit behind because their play styles, at least at one point, were similar. And Kirk Cousins has been around the block a few times, has been successful on and off. And I think there is a lot of merit to that approach. And I don't think Fernando Mendoza is going to be the day one starter. I don't think there's many serious people who are calling for that. But what I don't like is how far the Raiders are from being a competent franchise and how much they need in order to become a competent franchise. How many times over the last, let's even say 30 years, have we seen franchises that have taken the number one overall pick and taken a quarterback, and that organization has been successful quickly? I'm not even saying in the first year. I'm saying in like the first 3 to 5. We've seen it with, you know, Joe Burrow year two goes to a Super Bowl. Obviously, there's Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. But outside of those, there's not many. I mean, I think we all were super excited about Trevor Lawrence when he came out of the draft. He was probably considered the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck when he came out. And he's only like just now getting to the point where he is looking like a franchise quarterback. Like, it is, going to a franchise like the Raiders is going to be an incredibly steep uphill battle. And if you are the best quarterback prospect in years, it's an incredibly difficult thing to do. And Fernando Mendoza wasn't even that. So I don't see this going well. I know there are a lot of people who disagree. That's fine. I'm just calling it how I see it. And if I'm wrong, there's a lot of receipts to call me on it. So I will take that on the chin, and I will be okay with that.
Nice. Well, appreciate your thoughts on that matter. Because, at least for fantasy-wise, talking about 2026 only, I don't see it either. I mean, for him to be fantasy-relevant in a single quarterback league, absolutely not. Two quarterback leagues, sure, but he'll be later on.
I'd still say absolutely not.
Really? Two quarterback leagues, I mean, most, if not all, quarterbacks are going to be drafted. Like, they're just too valuable. So he'll be drafted, but still not
unless
great.
Unless you're in a 16-person two quarterback league and
out there,
and it's like early November and they finally let him have the keys to the 2002 Chevy Tahoe, maybe. But that's about it.
So are you saying Fernando Mendoza is a 2002 Chevy Tahoe, or he drives a 2002 Chevy Tahoe?
I'm saying the Raiders are a 2002 Chevy Tahoe.
Hmm.
He's not being given the keys to the Lamborghini or the Ferrari or the Bugatti or whatever you like to drive. Not even a Miata. It's a 2002 Chevy Tahoe, which I'm probably going to get car guys who are like, the 2002 Chevy Tahoe is awesome. And, you know... Great. There's not many 2002 Chevy Tahoes still on the road, I'm pretty sure. So
I mean, that's 24 years. Anyway, one more name I'd want to throw out there, not to just pile on the Jets, even though I love piling on the Jets, Kenyon Sadiq, tight end in the first round going to the Jets, a team that could not support Mason Taylor and is now being helmed by Geno Smith, who could not support Brock Bowers. That is a total wash for me. I have no interest, even though he's an incredible athlete. I really just hated everything the Jets did with their draft. I don't know if you feel similarly, but I'll throw out that name as one more negative landing spot to round out the episode. Do not like it. Do not want it.
It did seem like there were several teams with very clear needs that deliberately chose not to address those needs as if they are waiting for 2027. And I think the Jets were one of them. And I'm curious what that means for how this year is going to look.
Bad.
You know?
The Jets will be bad.
The Jets will be bad. All right, Stu, I think we are ready for closing thoughts here. Take us away.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are on our socials. We are at Fantasy Footbeer. That's both on Instagram and on X if you want to reach out to us. We're at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com if you want to ask questions or send beer recommendations. As James alluded to before, we do have a website, fantasyfootbeer.com, where you can look at blog posts written by James. You can listen to our episodes on there, and you can even ask us questions there too. It's lovely, it's beautiful. People should traffic over there. We are jumping into divisional breakdowns 2 days from now, I think, something like that. So be aware that we're going to release twice technically this week, just because I pushed us out so late from last week. Our first two teams, James has scheduled us for the NFC North with the Bears and the Lions. So you Bears fans, Lions fans, get excited. You get to lead us off into the 2026 season. And this is a random aside, but I'm just proud of the Browns for getting a hold of Justin Jefferson. As long as they sign him, they could have a Justin Jefferson on their team, too. Because they drafted him in, like, the fifth round, even though he's a linebacker. Anyway, James, take us home for the evening.
All right. Thank you, Stu, for another great episode. Always enjoy our fantasy football talks. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening to our very awesome fantasy football talks. If you are someone who enjoys our fantasy football content, please let us know. We love to hear about it. If you are someone who enjoys cats or dogs, we have those. Pixel, I'm sure, is somewhere over in Dr. Stu's house contributing to the production of the episode. Mm-hmm.
She's in her usual spot. Her perch is right next to my desk, and she's at the very top platform. I can see her ear, but just her ear.
And Indy, the assistant executive producer of the show, is always here and sometimes asleep, sometimes barking, and sometimes chewing on something very loudly. But for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Pixel the Cat, for Indy the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night and good talk.